This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Let's Talk Tech with Mark Aflalo of Double Tap Canada. Of course, you can hear that show with Mark, Stephen Scott, and Sean Price Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on AMI Audio. We're talking to Mark from Montreal, Quebec. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Good. You, Mr. Brown?
I'm doing well. You've got a topic that I always enjoy talking about, and that's tips on purchasing a new laptop or investing in a new laptop, as somebody put it yesterday in the post-show meeting. And I was like, yeah, investment seems like a teensy bit of a stretch, but fair enough. Mark, what got you thinking about this topic?
Well, you know, with Father's Day approaching and my son graduating elementary school, he's going to need a new laptop for high school.
Fair.
And we're trying to figure out the balance, because you don't want to send him to school with something that, if it's lost or damaged, that you're going to be super pissed about.
Yeah.
So obviously spending $3,000 on some gaming, you know, machine is not going to be the choice, although he would love that. His criteria is playing Minecraft. My criteria is, you know, using it for school.
Using it for school.
So that got me thinking about, you know, the different levels of laptops. And I think there's also a perception that certain laptops are more expensive than they actually are these days. And I figured let's talk about some of these and let's kind of break down some of these myths.
Okay. Before we get into some of the specifics, Mark, I'm curious, and I'm going to do a little diagonal slash with my finger across the camera here that sort of indicates a Mendoza line. In baseball, that's batting 200. They say, if a hitter's batting over 200, the Mendoza line, that's okay. If they're batting below the Mendoza line, that could be a bit of trouble. Where do you start drawing that Mendoza line on pricing of laptops?
Oh, God. You're talking about like specs, or you're talking about like just requirements?
I'm just talking about a general number, right? Like to me, it's around $1,000. If I'm spending more than $1,000 on a machine, I better be getting a really great machine. Great machine.
Back in my desktop building days, I would always have said that a laptop or a good computer is $2,000. No matter when you're buying it, $2,000 is kind of like a good computer. When it comes to laptops, it really has fluctuated a lot, because, you know, you can get stuff for under $1,000 that are actually decent machines. I actually just built a machine for Andy Frank to get for somebody, and he set his budget $1,000. I looked up some stuff, and I built something for under $1,000, including a really good warranty, that will be a great machine for browsing, basic audio editing, and that kind of stuff.
Right.
The second you want to get into the gaming world of things, or the second you want to get into video editing, or even just starting on those, you need a little bit better of a processor. You need a little bit more memory. And that's when you're starting to look at a Mac versus a PC. And that line right there jumps from under $1,000 to immediately over about $1,400.
Yeah, the jump kicks in pretty quick, and there's a significant jump. So you mentioned a couple of the brands there. So let's start with Mac. Of course, a couple of products that we've talked about here over the last couple of months are the MacBook Pro with the M1 chip and the MacBook Air with the M1 chip. So what are some of the distinguishments that stand out in the Mac world?
Well, number one is that I think people believe the Macs are expensive. And that's because of just the perception, I think, that Apple has created for themselves marketing-wise. The fact of the matter is since the unveiling of this new M1 chip, so instead of using Intel or AMD processors that they have to go out and buy and pay royalties on and then put in their machines and resell to you, they're making their own chips. So they're manufacturing it themselves. Therefore, the cost is a lot less. So they have brought down the price. For example, an entry-level MacBook Air with the M1 chip. And by the way, this M1 chip is super powerful, so you can do a lot of the things we've talked about, all the way up to gaming and even video editing on this M1 chip. So a MacBook Air entry level on Canadian side is $999. So it's right at that cusp of that $1,000 point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is for someone who wants to browse, wants to do email, wants to do the little iMovie playing, maybe some audio editing, maybe some, you know, working with pictures and watching, you know, consuming media. The second you want to jump up to the creator point of view, that's when you're creating more content and you need a little bit more power. That's when you're going to want to look at the MacBook Pro lineup of things. Now, the MacBook Pro, again, also features the M1 chip, but a different variation of the M1 chip. It's a little bit higher powered. Those start at $1,299 and can go all the way up to almost $6,000, depending how you want to configure it. But look what I did right there. I mean, you just noticed that a Mac, an entry-level Mac, a great computer, it's going to last you 5 years, is starting at under $1,000. And for the MacBook Pro, $1,299. That's not that expensive.
Yeah. Can I ask an ignorance question, Mark? I'm sorry. Sure. I'm not always totally tapped into these things. But for a long time, the MacBook Air didn't necessarily come with some of the ports that you might need in your day-to-day operation, like the appropriate number of USB connections or whatnot. Is that still the case?
It is, because they're focusing on thin, so you're not going to get an HDMI port. You're not going to get an SD card reader. You're going to get two USB-Cs on the left side of the machine, and that's it. That being said, there are tons of options and solutions for expansion, whether it be a hub, whether it be adapters that you can carry around with you.
Yeah.
But if you do need that expandability and you're trying to use this as a desktop and you want to plug in monitors and stuff like that, you might want to look at the MacBook Pro for just, $200 more. On a starting point, you're getting that SD card reader. You're getting HDMI built in. You're getting the headphone port. You're getting two USB-Cs on one side, another USB-C on the other side. So you have more expandability out of the box. But if you're going to invest, and by the way, the investment for a hub or a dock, it's probably about $30 on Amazon, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, not terribly pricey.
You can go
pricey.
Higher if you want to do more, but it's not that expensive.
Yeah, I'm trying to find ways to clean up my desk. My desk right now, thanks to the work of Andy Frank and your brother, has become quite cluttered at home. So we're trying to clean that up a little bit. So hubs are good.
I understand.
Hubs are a good thing. Mark, let's jump over to the world of PCs because even though Stephen Scott would want us to only focus on the Macs, there are people who do enjoy PCs and Windows machines. And speaking of Windows, you had a couple products you wanted to flag for us here, the Surface Pro 8 and the Surface Laptop 4.
So Surface Pro 8 is like a two-in-one machine. It's got a touchscreen display. It's got a clip-on keyboard. It's a really good portable device that's really kind of your all-in-one. It gives you the pen ability so you can draw on it like a tablet. You can consume your media because it is a full-fledged Windows computer. But because it's thinner and lighter, it uses a different variation of the processor. So the fan turns on when you're doing higher-end stuff. And there are some limitations. But price point, like, this is really designed for kind of business and entry-level schooling. Starts at $1,199, but that's with an i5 processor, which isn't that powerful. That's why I wanted to talk about the Laptop 4, because the Laptop 4 gets rid of the two-in-one factor. You still have got a touchscreen. It's still designed by Microsoft. It's got a beautiful keyboard and everything that you don't have to worry about clipping on afterwards. Again, it supports the pen, but it's a laptop, so you've got the ports, the extra ports that you need. And this device, it starts at $1,099, so $100 less. But if you want to configure it up, you could go into the almost $2,000, $3,000 price range. That being said, the Surface lineup is really meant as a blueprint from Microsoft to tell other manufacturers, this is what we want you to be designing. This is the benchmark. Take it and run with it. And that's what they do. So that's why the price is a little bit higher, because they don't really intend on making lots of cash with this. It's really more of a proof of concept out of the box.
One of the behemoths in the early days of PC computing was Dell. What do they have on offer these days?
Dell's gotten really, really good in terms of their offering. They've got a lot of parts and stuff in stock because they buy en masse, as they say, in bulk. So they've got a great lineup when it comes to laptops. They've got the XPS 13 line, which is a beautiful, beautiful computer that they're updating almost every 6 months. The bezel-less display, a beautiful front-facing webcam, great storage inside. It's got a touchscreen. It's got an Infinity Edge, which is absolutely beautiful. And this, rings in at close to $1,500, $1,600, which is why the other one I would talk about when it comes to Dell is the Inspiron, which is the one that I recommended to Andy Frank, because we got a beautifully configured machine with an i7 processor from last year to save some money for just under $900. So we added on the extra warranty, and we're still at $1,000.
And finally, we're going to land in the world of eco-friendly laptops. And Mark, I think we've talked about this with you before, but remind me, what makes a laptop eco-friendly?
So, there's a couple companies that are doing it. Microsoft does it with their Surface Go lineup. And what they're doing is they're using sustainable materials and sustainable parts. What do I mean by sustainable parts? I mean Phillips head screwdriver screws instead of, these torque screws that you need a special screwdriver for, things that make it easier to repair, easier to replace. The hard drive is easily expandable, easily replaceable. Acer goes a step further and uses recycled plastics and recycled materials in all aspects of their machine. So that's what makes it eco-friendly, but you're paying a price tag for it because they tend to be, $1,100, $1,200 at the end of the day. That being said, people like the sustainability aspect of it.
Yeah, people are always grateful to be doing some of that that sustainability side. Maybe they'll pay for it, although it'd be nice if it was recycled materials that maybe because totally. There was, no less manufacturing involved, that maybe, it would be cheaper because it's a more sustainable option. It seems like flying in the face of some of the conventional thinking around being eco-friendly. Hey, Mark, thank you for pinch hitting for Stephen and Sean today. We missed you on Monday, so I was glad
they're
could bring you in today.
On their way to record our town halls next week, so we're excited about that.
Oh, were they on their way to Canada?
They're on their way to Canada right now.
Anytime
soon.
Get out of town. Well, get into town because you got to go record those things next week.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Mark, the best, man. Have a great day. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.